Welcome to TAP, the awesome podcast. My name is Claire Turner and I'm an EFT practitioner, manifestation and mindset coach, the founder of Claire Turner EFT, the creator of 8 Weeks to Weight Loss and the From Doubt to Clout courses. Now, I am obsessed with helping women to overcome feelings of self-doubt and to grow into the awesome and empowered goddesses that they truly are. Now, if you are looking to tap into your divine right to success and abundance, then you have come to the right place, my friend. My goal within this podcast is to help you see your infinite potential, to tap into your personal power and be, do, and have whatever you dream of. Thank you so much for pressing play. We're going to have so much fun. Let's get going. Hello and welcome. Today I have the amazingly beautiful Emma Gibbs, who is an industry renowned. Before I go any further, Emma, have I said that right?
Yeah, you have, lovely.
Okay, cool. Take two. So hello and welcome. Today I have with me the beautifully gorgeous Emma Gibbs, who is an industry renowned transformational coach, who helps women learn how to believe in themselves again by breaking the habits of self-doubt so they can build real confidence and live the life they were born to live. Now, before all this began, she was just a girl who felt lost, trapped, and totally broken. With a background that includes some serious trauma and abuse, she's had a few cards dealt to her that would be enough to make anyone call it quits. But most importantly, she didn't. She's experienced judgment, pain, anxiety, and total overwhelm. She thought she was damaged, not good enough, undeserving of success and happiness, and felt held back by fear, self-doubt, and lack of belief in her abilities. Now, for years, she existed, going through the motions, playing small, trying to fit in and focusing on just getting by until she made a choice. And she chose to stop being a victim. She chose to stop wallowing and she chose to help herself. Incredibly powerful. Now, over the years, she's helped thousands of people to transform their lives by learning how to manage self-doubt, break down negative daily habits and build real inner confidence so they can create and live the life that lights them up. She's worked with some of the leading coaches in the UK, online entrepreneurs, global presidents, global brands, and business owners. She's also a very proud host of the Life Beyond Limits podcast that focuses on bringing mindset to life and creating success from the inside out through the power of interviews, sharing stories from people all over the world who have achieved greatness and overcome adversity and never given up. So I am absolutely thrilled that she has kindly agreed to have a chat with us today to share more about her journey. So Emma, welcome. It's fantastic to have you on.
Oh, thank you. It's lovely to be here.
Just tell us a little bit more about yourself. You know, what was your reason for becoming the coach that you are now, helping all these thousands of people overcome self-doubt themselves?
I think, you know, I've always been incredibly intrigued by people. I absolutely love people. I love finding out about people. But more than that, I just hate the thought of anyone feeling vulnerable or less than or not worthy of things. And I suppose, you know, a lot of that really stems from my past, with everything that I've gone through and the emotions that I've experienced on and off for the last 25 years. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm quite a nosy person, so I love finding out about people, which is why I do my podcast and I had you on it and I interview lots of people, because I just think there's just so much more to people than meets the eye, and I'm genuinely intrigued by people. So I love nothing more than being a part of helping them to live the life that they live, because I hate the thought of having that accepted way of living. And I kind of feel that I went through the motions of that for a long, long time, where I kind of shut down all my goals and desires and just limited myself on so many different levels to the life that I thought I should be leading based on what I'd gone through. And yet those desires that I was born with were still there. And so you're kind of in that constant battle, as well as the other constant battle of feeling shit, that it was just too much. And it got to the point where I was like, I just need to change things. And I want to be able to help other people to do the same, because it's incredibly freeing and liberating to live the path that you're meant to walk.
Yeah, it's interesting you said about the just sort of shutting down. So when we spoke when you were chatting for your podcast,
yeah,
and I was saying about how all these years previous I've been kind of in a rut and trying to convince myself that I was happy there, so that I wouldn't have to step up. Is that kind of a similar sort of thing, that kind of do you see the fear of having to be more than you think you are?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was, I knew what I wanted, I just didn't think I deserved it. Okay. And I guess when I was just battling with feeling so lost and so damaged and unworthy, it was like I was just producing evidence upon evidence to back up the fact that I didn't feel like I deserved it. And so it was just reinforcing it for me. And it was almost like, you know, these things that I see happening in other people's lives won't ever happen for me, because that's just not me. You know, life is hard. That was always my thing. Why does everything have to be so hard? And so I just had this lack of trust in who I was. And I guess because I've been told on numerous occasions that I'm a complicated person. And I've always felt quite misunderstood. As much as I'm a very confident person, and some people say I love being center of attention, I'm very cheeky, love the banter and all of that, but I'm very protective over myself as well. And so I will never put myself in certain positions. Safety is always at the forefront of my mind. And if I feel judged or vulnerable, or people, you know, might take advantage, then I will retreat back into myself for sure.
Yeah. It's kind of a learned defense mechanism, isn't it? Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's hard to break when you know, many of these things, even though you know that there is more to it, learning how to apply that is a whole different ballgame. You can hear, but it's like, you know, and I really, really want it, but I just don't know how to bloody do it. And, you know, you can dip your toe in and you can try, and you can get, maybe move yourself a couple of degrees away from where you are. But then you're going up against the resistance of it all, and you're going against your not comfortable programming, because you're not overly happy. But the reality is you've adapted so much, it's familiar. And yeah. So you know how to live it now. And so you don't have to use too much brain power to get through stuff. And, you know, because you've got that accepted way of living mentality, it's like, well, you know, this is it, and life, you know, life's not too bad. And we all go down that, don't we, when we think, oh, we need to change, it was a bit hard. Well, actually, it's all right. Whether it's a job or a relationship or whatever, we think, well, it's not too bad, actually, I'm just having a bad day, or, you know, I'm sure they will not be an asshole tomorrow, or, you know, whatever. Yeah. We just suddenly come up with those little excuses to keep ourselves where we are.
Yeah, absolutely. So what was it, Emma, that sort of the catalyst for you to really take or find out what it is you needed to do to get you out of where you were?
Well, there's two here. I'm just going to write a note of them as well, because I don't want to I don't want to forget them. But I'll get so carried away. I think I knew deep down the big catalyst for me to start my recovery came from, I've always had issues with my stomach. You hold a lot of emotions in your stomach, and I couldn't retain food. It was just whooshing out of me, left, right and centre. And so I was very low in weight. I had very little energy. I was consciously trying to look good on the outside to detract people from the fact I was crumbling on the inside, and things were just bubbling and bubbling. And I remember it was when I was repping and I was doing an online exam, And I think I got one question wrong and it made me fail the exam. It was like the whole world came to an end and I just broke down and I was like, I just can't cope anymore. I was so exhausted. I was pushing people away. I wasn't letting anyone in. So no one really could understand me. I didn't really understand me. And I was just battling all the time. Mm-hmm. And so I was signed off work with PTSD indefinitely, but ended up just having 5 weeks off because I felt guilty being off work and I didn't want it to tarnish my reputation and all that shit that we think when we're going through that stuff rather than just focusing on ourselves. But having said that, it was the start of me facing up to the fact I couldn't carry on the way that I was and something had to give and something needed to change. And that had to come from me. It couldn't come from anybody else. And so it was a wake up call. So that was probably one of the first things, and that got me into counselling and so on and so forth. But that only got me so far. And this is why I'm really, really passionate about getting to the root cause, because I feel that that really kind of just papered over the cracks and helped me to move forward for another couple of years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, top me up almost for energy and fuel to get through that. And then I got made redundant from my job. And I've worked really bloody hard to get to this position. I've been in the medical sales industry for 13 years, just moved into training manager's role for the last year of my career. And then the day after my birthday, I got made redundant. And actually it was good and bad because I've always wanted to run my own business, but never had the balls to do it. Didn't really know what I wanted to do either. So that was another thing that was stopping me. But when I was made redundant and then left for the opportunities, I knew that this was my opportunity to not go back to what I know and to start exploring. And so, and people knowing me as I am said, oh, had I considered life coaching? And I was like, well, that sounds a bit fluffy and whatever. but looked it up and literally 4 hours later was still on the internet like, wow, this is everything that I would love to do. I love people. I love helping people. I've always felt that everything that I've gone through in my past happened for a reason. And I've always wanted to use it to inspire other people. So I was like, oh, wow, this just seems really cool. And so I applied to various certification schools or whatever you call it and got qualified in NLP, hypnotherapy, life and business coaching. But that's when it all kind of went, now, like, you know, in the corporate world, you're a worldwide ID, like people knew you, but the bigwigs didn't know you. And suddenly I was like out on my own, about to step into this world of helping people. And I quickly realized if I was going to help other people, I needed to help myself first. And so I very much used my training as an opportunity for me to take my healing to that next level.
Yeah.
It was really exposing and really, really scary, but really exciting all in one. But I didn't really know what to do with a lot of these emotions because I blocked them and shut them down. And then a lot of guilt came up because I then realized I wasn't fully showing my true self to my husband. And, you know, we just got married and all these things from the past that I thought I'd put to bed started coming through again. And it was like, whoa, hang on. You know, I thought I dealt with that and now I'm having to deal with it again. And so it was a real wake up call for me. But liberating on so many levels.
Yeah, it's a really important point you've made. The fact that, you know, to be able to help other people, you have to work on yourself. And I think this is possibly where quite a few people not necessarily go wrong, but don't perhaps allow themselves the gift of diving deep into their own shit so they can then help other people do the same. Because you're absolutely, absolutely true. You can't help other people if you're still wrestling with your own stuff.
Well, exactly. And you know, I pride myself on honesty and authenticity, and I'm very transparent. And I just think I can't sit there and tell someone. I could guide them and I could do it, but it doesn't sit well with me to get them to do stuff knowing full well I've not done it myself. Do you know what I mean? It's just not how I roll with that.
Yeah.
And I also, you know, for me now, I have insights into life and into an understanding that not very many people have. And so I can get to people's blind spots and really help them in a way that very few people can, because I've done it myself.
Yeah.
And I think there's so much, well, they say your message, don't they? And I think there's so much in that. And instead of hiding from that, I use that as now like my unique gift. Like, I know where the blind spots are because I've had them for so long. And I think, you know, it's still an ongoing process. But I know what they look like and how they can impact on people. And, you know, they're called blind spots for a reason, because people can't see them. And yeah. So being able to offer that to someone who is at a loss and like, I've tried everything and it's just not working, and I'm obviously not meant to do this, and I feel a failure, to go, no, actually, it's just, let's just look at things differently and strip everything back.
Yeah, absolutely. So what was it, I mean, you mentioned NLP and hypnosis, what was it particularly about some like the modality of hypnosis that
well, yeah, that was a funny one for me, because I resisted it and I almost failed my course because I was refusing to be hypnotized, because of the whole control side for me. I didn't want to feel like I was out of control or that someone was taking advantage of me, two of my triggers. And also my trainer was a guy. And so it was really interesting, because I don't like to fail. So the minute they were told, well, you've got to do it if you want to pass, obviously I did it. But actually, I remember being really, really nervous when I first had it done and bringing my husband in to my session, obviously visually, not physically, just to be there as a bit of comfort. Mm. And I remember when I first went through it and we finished, I burst into tears, but not in a bad way, just in like, just a relief way. I'd released so much. And I remember phoning my parents and speaking to them about it. And they were like, Em, you just sound so different. And I said, I feel lighter. I feel really different. I can't explain it. And I went out with a girlfriend that I'd met at the course, and I'd only known her a couple of days. And we literally sat there laughing all night, and we weren't even drunk. Like, I was just, it was like I was just releasing so much suppressed emotion that I had been refusing to let out. And it was incredible. And so that kind of got me hooked on hypnotherapy. And you hear so much and you see all these bloody god awful TV programs where they can make you bark or
yeah,
you know, this, that and the other, and you know, that's not what hypnotherapy is about. And it you know, it was just a real learning curve for me. And then I had the hunger for it, and I was like, every time they asked for a volunteer, I was like, yeah, me, because I just wanted to just absorb so much of that particular technique, because I just saw the power that came from that and I felt it. And I think when you can feel it in that way after just one session,
yes,
without having to relive anything, it's an incredible thing to, for someone like me to feel and experience.
Yeah. And like you say with the hypnotherapy, I know what you mean, as quite, you say the word hypnotherapist or hypnotherapy, and it does bring up in people's minds that kind of, you know, stage show act of,
yeah,
you know, chirping like a chicken and whatnot.
Yeah.
What are the sort of more popular, if you like, myths that you've had to sort of wrestle with regards to people's responses to you suggesting something like hypnotherapy?
So people then think that you suddenly become unconscious because you're talking about the subconscious and the conscious mind, and or, you know, I'll say I'll bring you back now, or people will then think they have to go into a trance. And it's not a trance, it's basically a massage of the mind. It is time for you to just switch off and allow your mind and your body to rebalance. The mind and body are so powerful and interconnected on so many different levels. But in the world that we live in right now, it's so busy and so chaotic, and everything is instantaneous, and we're always on it, and we're always multitasking, you know, watching TV while scrolling through Facebook, or, you know, whatever, eating lunch and doing something else. We never just be. Yeah. And so we're not designed for that, but that's just how we've kind of adapted our way of life. Whereas hypnotherapy is just an opportunity for you to have some well-needed time out, to be away from all distractions, and simply be present. And that in itself does incredible things for your immune system, for your stress levels, for anxiety, you know, for your general well-being, because quite often, certainly for me, I was living very much in fight and flight mode. And so there's only so much you can do in that way of living, hence being signed off with PTSD and burnout, because I just reached my limit. And just having 45 minutes to an hour of total relaxation boosts your immune system, you know, nourishes your energy, really helps you to just feel more balanced and create space. So, you know, when we're bogged down with stuff, we can't think clearly. We can't allow new ideas to come through or solutions to come through. We can't see new opportunities because we're so blinkered and focused on it's got to be this way or no way at all. And when you just step back and allow one, you know, the whole reboot, it just helps you to create that space. Yeah. You know, for me, I'm going to go on a bit of a round, you know, waffle here.
You're great.
But for me, I think the real magic comes is when you do a lot of inner child work or a lot of deep healing that helps you to get to the root cause of whatever these beliefs are or where these experiences that have been haunting you on some level come from. And you can't necessarily do that with very many other techniques. You can, but not a lot of the obvious ones. And hypnotherapy for me is what is one of the more pleasant ones to do, because you're having all this, you know, de-stress and time out and rebooting your energy, and then on top of that you work with someone that really helps you to create deep healing. And just by using a couple of words, so it's not like you've got to relive your past either, it's just it's like connecting to an emotion that's attached to something you've been feeling and allowing that to take you back to the very first time you've experienced it and really helping you to heal at the core. Quite often people naturally hold back on the real thing, so it's like peeling the layers of an onion to get to it, but it's a lot quicker than it would be if you were just doing, you know, some of the standard techniques. Yeah. And so, you know, I love that because I've witnessed so many people's facial expressions and bodies just change, and as they release things really weirdly, they just look so much different at the end of the session. Because people, you get answers, yeah. Answers to questions and have a level of an understanding that you've never had before, but you've been searching for, maybe subconsciously all your life. And all of a sudden things make sense. And when things make sense to you, you feel okay. You feel like you're not a bit weird, or you're not being sensitive, or you're not, you know, misreading something. You get answers. And when you get answers, you have opportunities to do something about it and then to rebuild and to move forward. And the problem is quite often the things that we experience don't necessarily filter out in obvious paths. So you would think with my past that I would have a lot of issues with relationships. Now, I'm not saying my relationships has always been great, but it hasn't really been the key thing for me. I would say it filtered out and impacted my fertility experience of trying to fall pregnant with my husband, because I had a real strong opinion of pregnant women when I was going through all the shit that I was going through, and it filtered out in that. I had a real issue with feeling dirty, and I often thought money was dirty, and so it impacted on my relationship with money. But that all comes through when you know, when you get to the origin of what that is and allowed to clear it, almost wipe the slate clean at the root cause, so it doesn't filter out into different avenues.
Yeah, that's really a key thing. So that I just want to say, I love that massaging of the mind. That's a lovely image. But it's I love what you're saying about the fact that, you know, everyone has these root causes. Yeah. We didn't just pop into existence, you know, believing what we believe or thinking about ourselves in a certain way. It's something we've learned to do, and being able to have someone help you to find the root causes is so powerful. So I don't know if you've experienced this, but I found that if I try and do anything by myself to take myself back to a root cause, I can get so far, and then my subconscious kind of comes in and goes, no, you're getting a bit close to your comfort zone now, love, and if you sort this out, you're gonna push through it, and that feels dangerous. So, oh look, something shiny, or put the washing on. And I think it's something we talked about on your podcast as well, and it's just that ability to be with someone who can help guide you to the answers that are already inside you.
Yeah.
Just hadn't been allowing yourself to see, and getting the clarity on that is sort of a large percentage of being then able to do something about it. You know what to work on.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Yeah. So with regards to how you help people and transform their lives and break these old habits, are you able to share with us the kind of route for that? I mean, how do you take someone from an established bad habit that they've done for years and switch it into something much more empowering?
Yeah, I mean, obviously everyone is different. And, you know, this is what I'm learning more and more each day with stuff. We can all go through the same things, and yet our version of it will be different to anybody else's. And that's why, you know, when we're comparing ourselves to other people, it's such an impossible thing, because there's no way we can ever be anybody else other than ourselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so everyone is different. So I always start by identifying what's going on. So building that awareness piece. And awareness is free. It's something, you know, that we all need to have. It's something that helps you to get to know you as a person, identifying the stories that are going on in your mind when you're about to do certain things, looking at what patterns might be coming through when you're challenged, what challenges are coming through, what obstacles are coming through. So really starting to set that scene of looking at like what life is like for Claire. Often when people come to me, I always get them to fill in a questionnaire. Often what they think is the issue is not the issue, but we start with the issue of their issue. But we start exploring and just, you know, really kind of, I will set little challenges for people to monitor themselves over, the couple of days in between our initial chat and our sessions, to just really observe, be that observer of who you are and how you're showing up to the world. Because again, we do a lot of stuff on autopilot. It's now actually getting you to consciously be aware.
Yeah.
And I think that in itself is quite mind-blowing, because you then are consciously aware of how you speak about yourself. You're consciously aware of how you speak about your goals or about other people. You become aware of the judgments that you're making on yourself and on other people. And this isn't about then like a character assassination. This is just an observation without judgment of what's going on, because we need to understand what's going on in order to create the changes. So I'd always look to do that. Obviously from that, you then get to recognize what habits are coming through for people. And I always combine a mixture of coaching, NLP and hypno with my clients anyway. And obviously on the deep stuff that we've started to identify, I'll always do that under hypnosis, because for me, I just think it's the safest and the nicest and most non-invasive way of doing it. But a lot of the things that I tend to work on is obviously identifying limiting beliefs, the buts to all of your stories or the goals, whenever you're like, I'd love to do that, but
yeah,
it's that. So identifying what they are, looking at forgiveness. Forgiveness is the missing piece to everyone's puzzle. It's the one thing most people will resist, but it will be the one thing that will hold you back until you do it. So we always look at working on forgiveness, and that can be different for each and every one of us, and that can take longer dependent on how ingrained it is. So there's a variety of different techniques that we can look to use that. And then it's really about sort of the release side of things. So getting rid of the crap, essentially, that's been holding you back. And that's where the deep healing comes in. So we'll look to work on some core emotions that have come through. Excuse me, or blind spots that I've identified. Sorry,
That's what I
had a biscuit before. It's just come up. we'll look at some of the patterns that I've identified, start to notice some of the little blind spots that might be coming through and start to investigate.
Yeah.
Whenever I start with anyone on hypnotherapy, you never dive in anyway straight away with that sort of stuff. You've got to build trust. So there's always trust. And I will always be led by my clients. I will never get them to do anything they're not ready to do. So I'll always pass that judgment on each and every call. But generally speaking, I would then work with you to go through a healing process. And that can take any number of sessions. To be honest, I would always say a minimum of 4. Mm. Therapy sessions to get true transformation, because there's no point half-heartedly doing something, because it's just a pointless exercise. So we would work then through that, and then of course it's about then rewriting your story and then re-educating you to create new habits. And what everyone sees, two things, is that they often wait to feel more confident before taking action. So we really work on reframing the fact that in order to become more confident, you've got to take the action, because you're not going to know whether it works or not without taking action. And so it's looking what actions you can take by breaking everything down, creating a strategy for your goals that stretch you but don't push you backwards. So we really kind of work on that side of things to really help rebuild the confidence. And then also looking at what steps you can take consistently each and every day, because again, everyone focuses on the how, and they often get so caught up in, well, I've made this decision and this is what I want, and want to go from A to Z. And the reality is you got to go from A to B to C, maybe bypass D and go to E. It really does depend, and the only way that you get that feedback is by taking the action in the first place. And the reality is you can't move on to that next level until you've learned everything that you need to know at the level you're at now. And so the quicker you can identify the obstacles or the challenges and you can learn from them, the quicker you will get to where you need to be. But if you're resisting it and you're going, no, this is the way I've got to do it, then you'll be held back, and it will be until someone slaps you around the face and go, will you just listen? You've got to tweak it and pivot it slightly. Mm-hmm. So we'll look at creating new success habits, because if you can do something new each and every day that moves you slightly to the left or the right of where you are right now, over the course of 6 months to a year, your path that you will be on is going to be so different to the one you're on right now. Yeah. And then we'll... throughout all of this, I'm helping people to learn how to apply stuff. So there's always different tools and techniques that I will use personally, but then there's also techniques that I then teach them to use on themselves, because half the battle is learning how to apply it to yourself and to make it relevant. And so I get to know you and get to know what works for you, what would suit you and your issues or your blocks, but also suit your personality, because again, and your, you know, and that's all based on your experience and stuff. Like for me, if someone had said straight away, right, you need to meditate, it just wouldn't have happened, because I was too scared to switch off, and my mind was just on the go all the time, so that just would have been a waste of time. Whereas journaling was really, really good for me at the start, and as I got more comfortable into that, I've then moved into meditation now. I absolutely adore it. It's a non-negotiable, but it's being able to look at all the things that are available and helping you to have an armory of what will work for you over the course of, you know, the next 6 to 12 months, and then allowing you to build the confidence in using them by taking action safely with me first, small actions, so you start to see results straight away, and then, you know, build from there.
Yeah, so I love the fact that there is the focus on the fact that it's personalized for that particular individual, because so many coaches or trainers or whatever, it's almost like a cookie cutter technique without taking that into account. And like you say, you know, the whole thought of meditating for people who aren't used to it, it's like, oh my God, no way. And as soon as something becomes difficult or they're resisting it, they're not going to do it. And so what's the point of even giving it to them in the first place? So I love the fact that you take that into account and tailor it specific
language. And take it, you know, we're working the minute we start working together. Shifts are happening, you know, straight away.
Yeah.
But it's then tweaking it. And of course, the more layers you unravel, then you might not necessarily need to do certain things anymore, but you're then ready to do other things.
Yeah.
So it's just being that support network and that reassurance for someone. Because when you're going through it, if you go through it on your own, you've got your ego going, oh, no, no, don't come back here, that won't work. And you've got your resistance at its peak. But if you've got someone there who has, you know, walked in your shoes and knows the emotions that you're going through and the challenges that you're going through, it's reassurance. It just helps you to just keep going. Plus, you're accountable to them, so you're less likely to let them down than you would let yourself down. But it's about tweaking it just to make sure that we're fine-tuning it. You know, you can't ever throw one strategy at someone and expect it to be perfect. We're tweaking all the time. Equally, you can't throw one strategy at 100 people and expect them to get the same results. They just won't either. So it's like, right, let's just see. Because who you are at the start is very different to who you are halfway through and who you are at the end. And so you need me at every level to just be guiding you to say, right, you know, now try this, do this, you know, whatever.
Yeah, awesome stuff. And the whole accountability thing, like you said, yeah, people will do stuff for other people they will never do for themselves. That's a massive part of it. So with regards to that, you know, who was a particular inspiration for you or a particular important factor in your life moving you from where you were to where you are now?
Coach-wise or person in general?
Either or.
I would say my son has been a massive, massive influence on me on a personal level. He's opened me up in ways I never thought possible. And I feel emotional just right now, just talking about it, because for me to be gifted and to be chosen to be his mummy and he be a little boy was very healing for me, because obviously a lot of my past stems from being hurt and abused by men. And so I met my husband and he made me realize that, you know, other men have made me realize that they're not all assholes, but there was something very healing about my son. And the day that he was born, something shifted in me in the way of trust. Mm-hmm. Trust, again, has always been an issue for me. I totally trust myself when I'm with him and I don't feel judged. And I just feel, I know my husband loves me unconditionally, but there is a different kind of love that comes through from him that I can just be myself. And like, I still have issues with people touching my face. And like my husband can touch my face, but he can never touch my mouth, because I just like my automatic reaction is still to move away. My son can touch my mouth. It's like there's no blocks with him. And he's taught me to trust in my intuition, and he's also taught me to live freely again. I mean, there's nothing more freeing than watching a child grow up and see that they fall down and they get back up again and just don't care. And they are constantly exploring, and the imagination that we were all born with is just so awe-inspiring. And it's like, wow, I used to daydream all the time and then I just stopped. And so there were so many little reminders that came through for him, from him for me, little messages that I needed. And so he's been a massive, massive inspiration. I do everything I do is primarily for my little boy, obviously my husband, but my little boy on so many different levels. My mum has always been my true inspiration as well. I'm very, very, very fortunate. My family are my best friends. My sister is my absolute best friend. They all saved my life on so many levels without probably even realizing. But my mum didn't necessarily have it quite that easy when she was young. She lost her mum at a young age and stuff, but she's always just been that tower of strength. And so I've always strived to be, you know, as strong as her, but also she is emotionally detached sometimes, and so am I, and so I have those traits too. But from a professional point of view, there's been so many amazing people that have been in my life, but I would probably say Mel Robbins. has been a whopper of late. Dean Graziosi is awesome, beyond awesome. And he's highly dyslexic. And I think, well, I know it's his gift and he knows it's his gift because he simplifies things in ways that no one else can before. And you know, when you hear things and you've heard it 50 times before, but you hear it in his way of describing it and it makes sense. So he's been very influential for me. So I'd probably say those two at the moment.
Yeah, and on a similar line to that, Emma, something I ask all my guests, because I'm always, it's purely selfish, I'm always looking for great books to be reading. If there was just one book that you could recommend, what would it be and why?
Oh, one book. Oh my gosh. Well, I would have to say The Millionaire Success Habits by Dean Graziosi, because that just, I work on habits and his is very much about breaking down the habits, you know, and his are millionaire ones, but they're not. They're basically transferable into any area. So that is an incredible book. But can I just say one other? That is my number one. Only because I adore this woman as well. Believe It by Jamie Kern Lima.
Yeah.
It's a phenomenal book because she is the founder of It Cosmetics. And she sold that to L'Oreal for $1 billion. But her journey to get there, oh my God, was just something else. Challenge after challenge after challenge. And she kept going. And when you hear her speak, she's the most humble person in the world.
Yeah.
I think her book is very, very awe-inspiring too.
Fabulous. Thank you, Emma. So I do just like to end these chats first off with letting people know where they can go to find out a bit more about you. So do you have some links you can shout at me, and I'll pop them in the comments section as well.
I don't bother being on social media. No, I'm joking. What social media? I don't know that. Yes, I'm everywhere. I'm just at emmagibbsng.com is my website. Mm-hmm. My IG handle is at emmagibbsung. So you'll write it all down because people always go, what's your surname? Yeah. But yeah, Emma Gibbs Ung. And then same on Facebook.
Yeah, okay.
Cool. I'm on LinkedIn as well, again, as Emma Gibbs Ung. So if you type in that, you should find me.
Awesome stuff. And so I do like to leave people who are listening with something they can either take away and do in their own time, or something that you can guide us through right now. Is there something you can share with us, Emma?
Well, yeah, I mean, we were speaking about this just before, and there's a technique my clients love for many reasons. One is that when you get to learn this technique, you can use it for anything, and it can be done very, very quickly to just kind of silence it. And it's an NLP technique, but again, it's about keeping the power, not handing the power away, and being in control of what you listen to and what you feel versus what you don't. So I can talk you through that technique if you want.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds brilliant.
So do you actually want to physically do it?
Oh, yes.
So well, I'll need to know, one, what you want to feel more of and what you want to feel less of.
Okay. So people who are listening, you can jot this down as well for yourselves. Yeah. So something I want to feel more of, I think I want to feel more abundant.
Abundant.
And something I want to feel less of is self-doubt.
Okay.
That old sausage.
What hand do you write with?
My right.
Your right one. Okay. The only reason I'm asking that is because I want the one you want to feel more of to be with the hand that you write with.
Okay.
So because that works easier to turn it up. And obviously you're more that sided. I'm a lefty. Okay.
Sorry, love, you froze a little bit then.
Oh, did I?
Yes, you're back now, you're all right.
I'm back now. Okay,
close your eyes.
Okay, so I just want you to just one, give yourself permission to just be in the moment, and obviously any distractions that you have around you right now, please just put them to silent. And then just allow yourself to just close your eyes And I just want you to take in three calm, deep breaths. And as you allow these calm, deep breaths just to come in through your mouth, allow your mind and your body to really start to slow down. Our breathing helps us to connect our mind and body. It helps us to reduce stress. It helps our muscles to relax, our mind to slow down, and to create space that we all need. And as you just shut your eyes for a moment, I'm just going to run you through just a quick relaxation from the top of your head all the way down to the tips of your toes. Just imagine a nice, calm, white, healing energy. It's going to move down from your head, your forehead, your temples, your eyes, down through your cheeks, your jaw, your neck and your shoulders. Moving down your arms to the tips of your fingers. And down from your chest, your back, the solar plexus, through your hips, down your legs, and all the way to the tips of your toes. You can feel this calm, healing energy in your mind and your body, helping you to just connect. Feel relaxed, allowing you to trust and to let go of anything that's not serving you. Now, in this moment, I want you to see in front of you two dials. One dial is beautiful, gold illuminated. And the other dial is not attractive, maybe black. It's not really got a lot of goodness about it. Now, above the gold dial, you see a label that says abundance, or whatever it is that you're wanting to feel more of. And the other dial represents the emotion that you want to get rid of, so self-doubt. Now, what I want you to do is allow yourself to see your hand connecting to the self-doubt dial. And this is your opportunity to turn this doubt down. And there might be resistance to start off with, and I want you to keep pushing through that resistance and turn that dial down and down and down. And as you turn the dial down, I want you to feel your mind and your body letting go of this doubt. Be aware of any areas that perhaps you're holding on to this doubt even more. And just work with using your breath to help to release it. Continue to turn that dial down even more as you safely release the emotions and the connection, the intensity of these doubts, these feelings. And when you're ready, I now want you to use the hand that you write with to hold on to this gorgeous, beautiful dial that represents the emotion that you want to feel more of. Abundance, could be happiness, could be positivity, confidence, whatever it may be. And I want you to turn this dial right up. This is your opportunity to reconnect to these emotions that are stored within you. Everything that you need is within you right now. You just need to open that connection. So turn this dial and allow this gold, gorgeous, beautiful, healing, abundant energy to flow around your mind and your body. Allow yourself to feel it, to see it, to connect to it. Keep turning that dial up. And as you turn this dial up, this healing, abundant energy is being absorbed through every fiber of your being across all areas of your life. As you welcome it in, direct it to your mind and your body, allowing it to flow consistently and calmly. Filling you with a sense of trust and belief and being open to receiving abundance. And when you feel you turn that dial enough, I want you to take 3 deep breaths. I want you to put a smile on your face and open your eyes when you're ready.
Oh,
how was that?
Good. Yeah, good. I hope everyone else found that as good as I did.
I'm hoping you couldn't hear my husband's computer going bing bing in the background.
I didn't hear that at all.
I was like, oh my god, you could make a song out of that. Yeah,
that's incredible.
But I love that technique, because even in the moment, say if you're about to do a presentation or about to go live or about to go on a date or whatever it may be, and you're just feeling a bit wobbly,
yeah,
and you can just visualize it. I sometimes stand in the shower and I just pretend there's 2 taps in front of me, and I just turn one down and turn the other one up, because your mind is then associating that action with what it is that they want.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it just gives you that power and that control back. Yeah.
Brilliant. Emma, that was fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing that.
My pleasure.
It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, my lovely. Thank you for joining me. And if anyone has any questions, they want to reach out, either reach out directly to Emma. The links will be in the comments section. Or you can message me and I'll put you in contact if that's okay with Emma.
Yeah.
And awesome stuff. And I look forward to speaking to you again very soon, Emma, my love.
And you, take care. Thanks
for having me. Cheers. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. If you loved what you heard, be sure to share it with me in a review so I can keep the awesome stuff coming your way. And if you aren't already following me on social media, come and soak up the extra inspiration by following me on facebook.com/ClaireTurnerEFT or visiting my website at ClaireTurnerEFT.com. And just so you're aware, I'm very greedy. Claire has everything in it, C-L-A-I-R-E. I appreciate you so much and I cannot wait to connect with you again in the next episode. In the meantime, be awesome.